I'm going to move right into the next presentation by Dr. Jill Reese, who is an assistant professor of public administration in the Hatfield School of Government at Portland State University, where she teaches in a variety of graduate programs. Her career experience as a nurse, a local government budget and management analyst, health system administrator, and foundation executive provides a unique perspective on healthcare delivery and policy issues. She received her PhD in public administration from the School of Public Affairs at Arizona State University, where her research focused on deliberative models of democratic governance and health policy. So I turn it over to you.
Oh, thanks, Noam. Yes, yes, as if that introduction didn't clarify it, my trying to turn off the alarm on my phone, I'll go back to technology, make sure I don't go over here and just use a watch. I am not a technology person. I am a citizen engagement, public participation person who happened to come out of a healthcare background. And so find that an amazingly interesting world where public policy meets the delivery of healthcare. So today, first of all, I want to start by thanking APHA and the Health Informatics and Information Technology section for having this presentation and giving us the opportunity to share our research. Would also like to acknowledge my co-authors who are listed, Oliver Droppers, Anna Focek-Tresseter, David Bickman, and Cheryl Gelman. The project of the information, the research I'm going to talk to you about today, actually stems from a series of policy papers that we did under a contract with the state. So our research support was partial from the state, but don't have any other than financial relationships to disclose. So, as I mentioned before, government has a particular interest, and in my research interest, is in improving health. So a government interest, multiple interests in improving health for pragmatic and social welfare concerns. Government also has an interest in controlling costs, right? Public fiduciary, trust of public funds. And then government has a final interest in protecting privacy, which stems then from this notion of individual rights and responsibilities that's a very founding principle of our society. So as part of this research, we realized that, and the government realized, they had multiple interests in health information exchange. How to use it to realize the potential benefits of improving access, controlling costs, protecting privacy, and being a steward of the public interest. So this resulted in a series of 8 policy papers, this work that we did. It was supposed to be a summer project. I think we wrapped it up in, January, 8 papers later. The papers ranged from high-tech implications for HIPAA to the issues, some of which Noah mentioned, about the challenges of electronic health information exchange in particularly sensitive health information or specially protected health information, minors, children in foster care, where you have issues of authority for permission to treat, of disclosure, of participation. So you have a lot of permissions involved in there that come to play. And we realized as we got into developing Oregon's electronic health information exchange that we didn't have a real good understanding of a lot of these policy issues. So again, this series of papers. The one I'm going to focus on today actually speaks to the questions that may facilitate or impede broad prosumer participation in electronic health information exchange networks. Yeah. So we wanted to provide policymakers and other stakeholders then with key insights regarding how to successfully engage and implement strategies, again, designed to achieve those dual interests or multiple interests in cost, in access, in improving care and information. So to do this, we did actually a more of a convenience sample of surveys and polls that were published between 2003 and 2007, and also looked at reports of other consumer engagement efforts designed to gauge public opinion. So Oregon is somewhat known for being a very community-engaged, participatory state, and so had done a lot of work already with consumer focus groups, other forums, stakeholder task forces, people to elicit some of the information about how to deal with not only the technical architecture and structure, but as well the consumer and general public and legislative interests. So our analysis considered the source, the sponsor, the level of transparency, the potential media effects, the influence of trust in providers and government, and some theoretical insights that we drew from the social sciences with regard to individual decision-making that would also then have implications for people's proclivity to participate in an electronic health information exchange system. So I noted earlier, we have some understanding of consumer sentiment from these sources, but our knowledge is often contradictory. Healthcare providers and consumers expect to derive significant benefits, right, from the implementation of HIT, including electronic health records, electronic medical records, health information exchanges. However, we also find that the benefits of HIT, EHRs, are tempered by a lot of technical challenges. People are aware of implementation costs, they're aware of the effects of competition amongst providers, that notion of what we sometimes call the race to be second because of the lack of some standardized platforms, and a lot of concerns about privacy and security. In addition, our knowledge is limited by how, where, when, and why the knowledge that we have has been obtained. So there are a number of limits to survey research. We reviewed a number of surveys and polls that were done nationally that had something to do with health information technology and HIT. But though a lot of those were not specific to health information exchange. So it's not just the collection of an EMR or an EHR or technologies in general, which tend to be more associated with clinical technologies, but the actual exchange of information, which raises a lot of privacy concerns. We also know that survey research is notoriously limited in its ability to predict future behavior. So even if you ask somebody in a survey about would you participate, maybe. And they're oftentimes, you know, responding in a very limited amount of time, you know, the few seconds that it takes to say, yeah, 40%, without really fully considering. So while we know about that the consumer perceptions and participation are critical, they don't know much about health information technology, and they know even less about health information exchange. Some of our specific findings. Research that we looked at and the surveys and polls that we looked at says that the American public sees a lot of potential benefits for improving and coordinating quality of care, lowering costs. They generally express enthusiasm about health information exchange, but at the same time, like I just said, they're largely uninformed and wary. So we have this tension between enthusiasm and skepticism among consumers, among the general public. We have mixed opinions among providers. And so this kind of highlights, like I said, the ongoing and meaningful engagement that will be needed to implement successfully the health information exchanges. And again, the implications then are that the careful consideration of consumer beliefs are unique components of health information technology. One of our challenges is that oftentimes we tend to build the technical infrastructure without the requisite amount of consideration of how the public would view it and their proclivity for sharing information if they do not have adequate controls. So a lot of this, like I said, is derived from the broader realm of HIT and the internet in general. But HIT, as many of you know, is a very broad term. It encompasses a wide array of biomedical, clinical, and administrative applications. And those may or may not accurately reflect then the consumer perceptions about HIE specifically. Because these experiences influence perceptions of the benefits and risks, of the trade-offs among them, and of the decision to participate, we're not really sure. Even as we look at what people think about health information technology, we're not really sure how that will translate into their participation decisions. And this suggests the need for caution when interpreting or extrapolating the results of the surveys and polls, which are our primary source of information about public attitudes. finally, it was very interesting that we found that the general public or consumers, they have greater trust in healthcare providers. But some of this can be mediated through commercial interests. There are a number of commercial electronic health record products out there. And there are also some media effects when you hear about fairly large-scale data breaches. And we're not sure to what degree those cautionary tales will translate and to what degree they might outweigh the potential or perceived benefits. We also see that the concerns about privacy and security vary considerably amongst the level of government, between federal, state, or local levels. Generally, in public administration, public policy, people tend to trust more local levels of government more than those that are further removed. And so we see the similar process in some of the work around health information technologies. We also see some different levels between government and healthcare providers. People tend to test their healthcare providers much more when it comes to information about participation, risks, and security than they do the government. The challenge there, when you think about, oh, then who would deliver the message, so the implications, would be that if we're thinking that providers are going to carry the water on this message, we might want to think again, because providers have similar, pretty significant concerns dealing with cost, with the additional burden of release of records, because access to records, even electronically, would still be primarily through a primary care provider or a hospital provider. So they see a burden, they see cost, they see their own concerns, and some of the issues, again, that Noam had mentioned about adopting health information technologies when they see a lot of downside and less upside. So if we think that we can trade on the public's trust in their providers to facilitate participation, that's something we may want to rethink. Finally, individual participation in electronic health information exchanges may be positively affected by explicitly acknowledging concerns about the privacy risks. We reviewed a number of states' websites to see what kind of information they put out there on their website about how they would protect privacy and security. And to our surprise, actually, many of them were silent about that. And yet, that is the number one issue that people have in terms of their concerns. So we might want to consider explicitly acknowledging these concerns by addressing security safeguards, providing options for individual control of content, so people have the opportunity to say what information might be shared and what might not. Technical challenge, how do you segregate different types of information within a record? But we might also explicitly acknowledge privacy and security concerns by offering opportunities for very active and substantive consumer participation in the planning, the implementation, and the evaluation of the exchange itself. It gets to the transparency factor. The more they know and understand about it, the more likely they would be to participate. So the conclusion here is that as we talk to consumers, the ways in which we frame the risks and trade-offs will likely influence their decision to participate, and so suggest the need for strong stakeholder partnership, consumer engagement strategies to overcome not only the technical, but the social and the political challenges with this. So having this greater understanding of their perceptions, opinions, as well as the factors that underlie them, will be critical to achieving widespread participation and really realizing the benefits of the electronic exchanges. I guess the question that we all have to think about is, as we are building this, you know, if we build it, will they come? Right now, they see the benefits, they see that it could lower costs, they like the convenience, but there are significant privacy and security concerns that actually are not born of experience with electronic health information exchanges themselves, but of these larger internet HIT realms. So it gives us a great challenge of things to overcome as we seek to address those issues. And my contact information, people have questions, or we can save them all to the end so that people
have
time.
You're welcome to entertain any questions now.
into the mistrust of government and saw any distinctions between levels of government in terms of trust. So is there more trust in local government, more trust in federal, vice versa, or was your information not there?
Generally. Generally, those things were not in the same survey instruments. A lot of the surveys, interestingly enough, there was a Bob Blendon, who does a lot of survey research in healthcare, and they recently published a book compiling survey research. The one chapter that it did not have anything on of these longitudinal surveys they've been doing for years was a chapter on health information technology. We were kind of surprised, which is kind of what, you know, got our interest going, thinking, you know, what are people saying about this? But consistent with what you find generally with public policy is there is a greater level of trust the more local the level of governance is, which is why I know in Oregon, looking at its health information exchange, they are developing a quasi-governmental health insurance exchange. I'm sorry, I said information. I know two HIEs, it's gotten very confusing now. But with their health insurance exchange, they're looking at developing a quasi-governmental with its own publicly elected governing board. And so that could potentially be an option that people would view as not being government and being potentially more local if it's regional, within a state, or within cross-border areas. But some other challenges there, particularly on areas where there are large population areas that cross state borders, you run into some challenges with creating an entity within two different states whose own statutes and administrative rules and regulations and structures, governance structures, vary. So it becomes a real challenge for developing an appropriate governance structure. But the more local, the data suggests, would be better. Yes?
Can you ask any questions regarding the use of personal health records by consumers, which are often available through health plans but have a very low utilization rate, and why that is?
We didn't actually do any surveys. So we reviewed some others, but they were really more about attitudes around HIT and support for it. There was very little. We didn't ask specifically about that. I'm assuming that those questions are out there in surveys, but it wasn't an area that we looked at specifically.
Thanks.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks, Jill. And thanks for...